Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that's from the Holy Ghost right there. Praise God. Thank you, Carol. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew 12, verses 22 through 30. I have a good one. It's a longer message, but hang in there with me, all right? We're going somewhere. Say, we're going somewhere. Matthew 12, 22 through 30. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God or by the Holy Spirit, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house," underlining, "and plunder," say plunder, "his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Today I want to talk about our authority as Christians, ready, to plunder the kingdom of darkness. The word of the day today is plunder. Say plunder.
Plunder.
Remember that kids show that they said there's a word of the day, and every time we say it, we're going to scream. Ah! I don't want to mention it because that guy had demons of his own. Amen. You know who I'm talking about. But so the word of the day is plunder. My message is entitled this: authority to plunder the enemy. The word plunder in a biblical sense, let's understand what plunder means. In a biblical sense, it means to take goods by force, to take something by force. Often during warfare or as a result of divine judgment, and it symbolizes both material spoils and spiritual triumph over evil. So to plunder the enemy means to violently or forcefully seize and take the goods, the property, the valuables from the kingdom of darkness during warfare or conflict. Of course, I'm talking about spiritual warfare. We need to be violent with our faith, amen, against the forces of darkness so we can plunder the enemy. We need to start plundering the enemy. We as Christians have authority through the Lord Jesus Christ to plunder the kingdom of darkness. We have the authority to take back what rightfully belongs to God and what rightfully belongs to us through the Lord Jesus Christ to be used for the kingdom of God. Amen? Listen to this. As a Christian, you are either plundering the enemy or being plundered by the enemy. Those are the only two possibilities. You're plundering or being plumbered. Plundered. You are either taking from them or they are taking from you. It's that simple. And it's a continual battle. It's a continual warfare against the kingdom of darkness, against Satan and evil spirits. It's a strategy of warfare, come on, of taking back ground, taking things back that the enemy has stolen from you in your life to be used by the kingdom of God. Now, this spiritual warfare, listen to me, someone says, "Oh, I don't want anything to do with that," right? Well, let me just let you in on a little secret. This spiritual warfare will continue to go on in your life until your spirit and soul departs from your physical body. As long as you're in your physical earth suit, in your body, there will be constant warfare against the enemy. Whether you want it or not, you are in a spiritual battle as a Christian on this earth. So our authority from Jesus is what they call delegated authority. Say a delegated authority. This means that authority really belongs. This is what you're, where you got to understand, okay? This is why Christians are weak and shrink back from the enemy. Here's what you got to understand. This means our authority really belongs to Jesus, but he authorizes us to use his authority. So when you're coming against the enemy, it's his authority, not yours. If it's yours, you wouldn't be able to move an anthill. But it's his, and he delegated it to us. Authority in the spirit realm operates by faith. Say faith. You must know it's available, your authority in Christ, and you must know how and when to use it against the kingdom of darkness. Now, authority must be used with confidence. I know I preach messages on authority before. Go to YouTube and look up the messages about authority. So I'm not going to go into that. I almost got 10 pages, so I'm going to keep rolling here, people, okay? Authority must be used with confidence and trust in what God has said in his written word. Confidence and trust. That's what faith really is. It's a confidence in God. It's a trust in God, in what his word says. Amen? If that is lacking, the enemy will take advantage of your weakness. He will take advantage of your lack of knowledge. He will take advantage of the fear you're allowing to overtake your life. For many, the enemy is plundering your house. He's plundering your family. He's plundering your business. He's plundering everything. Demons have been given place or a legal right in your home, family, wherever it is, and they are stealing. They are plundering your peace. They're plundering your sleep and rest. They're plundering your marriage. They're plundering your physical health. They're plundering your emotional health. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're plundering, come on, your finances. They're stealing your time. You're allowing them to. And the list goes on and on. It's time you start standing up and taking responsibility and start taking back those things that the enemy's been plundering. It's time. It's time. That's why I feel like we're in a season. It's always a season of spiritual warfare and coming against the enemy. But I feel like with all these messages of spiritual warfare, the meeting we just had, the extreme warfare meeting, we're in a season of training of spiritual warfare here. So get ready, all right? So for that to happen, though, for the enemy to start plundering you, listen to me, the one in authority over your house and family must rise up. Did you just hear what I said? They need to recognize area that have been spiritually slacking and where place has been given to the enemy. Whether that's a family, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a business, whether that's a local church, are you following me? Whoever's in authority is the gatekeeper of that place. All right? So, where they have failed to be watchmen on the wall, okay, for the spiritual health of that place, they need to correct that. Something needs to be corrected there. Amen? Each person is the watchman on the wall for their own life. You understand that, right? But in a family, in a local church, in a business, a ministry, and so on, there is a spiritual authority structure that the enemy, listen to me, that the enemy must get through. That the enemy must get through. He's got to get through that individual who is the spiritual authority of that, all right? And they must get access through that authority to attack. Now, some of you who came on Wednesday, we watched a powerful video by Bob Larson on inner healing. You remember that? Powerful. He talked about a thing that he calls SPOA. 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 And that means spiritual power of attorney. The one in authority over the marriage, over the family, over whatever it is. That they have SPOA, spiritual power of attorney, all right? They've been placed in authority spiritually by God. And if that individual is not doing their job, they're not being the watchman on the wall, all hell will break loose and the enemy comes in and plunders. That is the importance of being alert, being a watchman on the wall, all right? If you are that in that position of authority, because you will be held responsible as the person in authority. You understand that? Here's a great example. Ready? Eli the priest. Eli the priest in the Old Testament is a great example of spiritual authority. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests in the temple as well with their father. They did not have the fear of the Lord. They had no regard for God and his commands. They would not follow God's commands about sacrifices. In fact, they would desecrate the sacrifices, all right? And they committed sexual sin right in the temple. All right, on a regular basis, all right? They were absolutely evil, and demons were using them to gain access into the temple to plunder the temple. But guess who God really held responsible? Eli, the father, the head priest. Eli, their father, did not discipline them enough. Eli was a spiritual wimp and allowed it to go on, and he was held responsible in that temple because Eli was the leader. S-P-O-A, say S-P-O-A. The sons were eventually judged by God for their personal sins. The Bible's very clear about that. But Eli was held responsible as well. But Eli wasn't the one having sex with women in the temple. Eli wasn't desecrated, but he still, hello, was held responsible because he was the spiritual power of attorney, authority in that place. We cannot tolerate sin in our families, in our churches, in any area of our life. Business, I'm talking secular. If you're a Christian, right, God's given you a business, whatever it is, we cannot tolerate sin. It must be confronted and dealt with, amen? We must have the fear of the Lord. Say fear of the Lord. And obedience to God. So parents and leaders must be aware of those under them and to call them out and put a stop to where the enemy, what the enemy's trying to do. You got to look for signs of abandonment from the will of God. Did you just hear what I said? You got to look for signs, those under you, signs of abandonment of where the enemy's trying to creep in. They must put a stop, listen, to the plundering process of the enemy. Listen, even unsaved business owners do this. What do you mean? Guess what happens to an employee that doesn't do what the boss wants? They're fired. Are you following me? They don't know they're doing it, but they're operating in their authority as the head of that business. You understand? So even if they're family members, again, Eli was expected to stop, to confront and put a stop, stop being a spiritual wimp. Get your family under control. You following me? All right, examples. So, you know, again, a child, whatever, or a kid in your family, allowing a church member to run amok, allowing an employee, you know, to fall into a rebellion, and it causes damage in areas, okay? So that's why, I mean, over Living Waters Chapel here, as the pastor, I have a lot of authority here that that's why I got a radar. I'm always watching here. Where's the enemy trying to creep in? We got to know it, and then we got to deal with it, right? All right. Boy, it's getting mighty quiet in here. You guys all right in here? Yeah. Oh, we're just giving it to you straight today, amen. So the one in SPOA or the spiritual power of attorney, you're the one that has to step in the way of that freight train. You got to step in the way and you got to stop it and say you're not going to operate like this anymore, amen. The enemy will operate and try to plunder. He uses people. He uses people. Do you understand that yet? He uses people. It's not just some imaginary thing that happens. The enemy will always use people. So look for clues. Look for signs of that falling away process where the enemy would try to bring destruction in those areas. And the enemy uses people to steal your peace and joy. Does he not? Say boundaries. You got to put some boundaries up. You got to put some boundaries up. If you don't, you'll get steamrolled. Go to Matthew 12, 28 through 29. And don't try to resurrect dead things that are meant to be dead in your life. Like I said, Matthew 12, 28 through 29. We're going to break this down even more here. Jesus said, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless," say unless, "he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." Here we go. We're getting ready to jump right into this thing now. I want you to notice, according to what Jesus said, if demons are present and active in a specific location, the kingdom of God is not present or active. Really, what I'm trying to say is this: it's either one kingdom ruling or the other. They can't be operating at the same time. Just like faith and fear are total opposites. They can't operate at the same time. You're either in faith or you're either in fear. It's either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness operating. Amen? All right, so understand that. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, again, they cannot operate simultaneously at one time. Only one can have the influence at a time. Say influence. Only one kingdom can have the influence at one time. All right. Now, Jesus made it very, very clear that if demons are cast out of a person, the kingdom of God then has the opportunity to rule or have an influence in that person, in that place. Place. Yes, I'm talking place. How many of you know there is such thing as real haunted houses? Amen. In fact, we have someone on the list right now that they want us to come pray for their house because weird things are happening in their house. We are the real Ghostbusters. So, what Jesus is saying is this: when demons are cast out, this is a sign or this is a manifestation of the kingdom of God happening when demons are cast out, because they lose the influence. Jesus revealed that the spiritual strong man or demon must be bound or have their influence cut off from operating to be able to plunder his goods or his house, what he thought was his goods, what he thought was his house. Now, remember, plunder means this in the most basic sense. It means to take something back by force in war. It's a war term, all right? Jesus is revealing to us that if we are going to take back what was stolen from the enemy, we must bind the strong man. You got to stay awake. If your neighbor's sleeping, bump them right now. Come on, somebody. I don't see anyone. I'm just saying that by faith right now. So he's revealing we need to take these things. How many of you feel like the enemy has stolen some things from you in your life, where the enemy got in, right? All right, so Jesus is telling us this. If we are to bind the strong man, we are to deal with the spiritual root of the problem. If the spiritual root is not dealt with, nothing will change. The kingdom of darkness will maintain control, will maintain influence over that person, over that location, whatever it is, over that family, over the business, over that local church, you name it. You can apply this principle that Jesus was talking about to every area of your life, all right? So we need to ask our Heavenly Father to reveal the strong man in our life, in our family, in our business, in our local churches, right? Like if there's something weird going on in a local church, you know, I'm praying, Lord, show me the strong man. Show me the root of this thing. Not just the fruit, the root. And then we need to pray for wisdom and guidance on how to deal with it effectively. Because there is a way to deal with things effectively. You can't just go all kamikaze. Are you following me? Because when you try to pull the root out, it could damage a lot of people and take a lot of things with them. Amen. Did you just hear what I said? Yeah. You got to figure out how deep that root is. And you need wisdom on how to deal with it. Casting out a demon is very easy, but we need wisdom on how to correct the legal right and the stronghold to fix the damage that it caused. It's very interesting that after Jesus talks about binding the strong man, he talks about a tree and its fruit. Go with me to Matthew 12, 33. As I read this passage, I didn't go that far in it, and the Holy Spirit said, keep reading. I'm like, yes, sir. And I kept reading. And what jumped out to me was verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. That was all I had to read. And I said, I hear you, Holy Ghost, loud and clear. He's connecting what was spoken above to this, to a tree, to a root system, to the strong man. When Jesus was referring to a tree being good or bad, he is also referring to the root system of a tree. Now, here's what you got to get. I want to get this across to you because it became so illuminated to me in my study. The root is still a part of the tree, even though it cannot be seen. Did you just hear what I said? When Jesus cursed the fig tree, where did it attack first? The fruit, the trunk, or the root? The root. So there's still a part of the tree that can't be seen. The root operates, listen, now in connection to people, in connection to us, the root operates on the inside of the person's heart, in their soul. Ready for this? This is what the Holy Ghost said. In the hidden man of the heart. Oh, did you just hear what I said? You see a tree, all you see a tree is the trunk and the fruit. You don't see the roots. But the roots are very important to what kind of a tree it is and what kind of fruit it produces. Now, so it's interesting of what can't be seen on the inside of the soul, all right, eventually brings forth a manifestation on the outside. That's why I always say this. You ready? From the inside out. Don't be so concerned about putting on your church mask and all. No, well, you need to be concerned about what's going on the inside, in your heart, in your soul. Amen. It's impossible to grow fruit on a tree without that tree having a root system to provide the water and the nutrients to make or produce the fruit. Let me say that one more time. It's impossible to grow fruit on a tree without that tree having a root system. If there's no roots, guess what? There's no life in the tree. All right? But Jesus said there's fruit, so there must be life in the tree. But the fruit stinks. The fruit's horrible. Amen? Now, in connection to the root and the fruit, and how good or bad it is depends, ready? I'm talking about our personal life now, depends on the quality of water it's receiving on the inside of our root system. Or with the tree, it depends how good that fruit is or not. It depends what that root system is sucking up. Oh, my, I'm enjoying preaching this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And I get paid to do this. Isn't this great? Listen, here, ready for this? If the water is pure, it will be a healthy tree and it will produce good fruit. If the water is filled with toxins, if the water is filled with poison, it will not be healthy for the tree and it will produce either bad fruit or no fruit at all. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here in connection to our life? Our spiritual life. When Jesus is talking about the fruit in a person's life, he's talking about their outward manifestations of their attitude, of the spoken words, of the actions of their life. In other words, it's something that you'll be able to see with your eyes. You'll be able to hear with your ears. That's the fruit that Jesus is talking about. He said, you will know them by their fruit. In other words, you're going to see it and you're going to hear it. Now, here's the cool thing about discernment from the Holy Spirit. That before you are be able, sometimes there's situations where if you immediately meet someone and you feel that the Holy Spirit is giving you discernment before you see or hear the bad fruit of that person. Thank God for discernment from the Holy Ghost. Amen. So fruit is visible for all to see eventually. But in the meantime, the Holy Ghost is saying something ain't right, right? If you will pay attention to a person's fruit in connection to discernment with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you will never be deceived or misled by a person. Did you hear what I just said? How many of you don't want to be deceived by someone? That's the way to do it. Eventually, in the process of time, fruit reveals itself. Outward manifestations reveal itself. So the root of a tree that takes water, it takes in water. It's either good or bad water. Why do I want to say water? Water, either good or bad water, is another way of revealing to us what we are allowing to influence our life. Did you just hear what I said? What we allow to influence our life will produce either good or bad fruit or bad, good or bad outward manifestations, spoken words, actions, and attitudes. Now, so we are like a tree with roots, are we not? What we look at, what we listen to, what we read, what we think about or meditate on directs our roots on where to be planted. Did you just hear what I said? What we're focusing on, what we're giving place to, whether good or bad, that directs where our roots are being planted. All right? That determines what's going to positively or negatively affect our life. That's what I meant by the roots not being seen, but they're very important. The process that is taking place on the inside of us, inside our soul, cannot be seen by other people, but it's eventually revealed or seen in the fruit or the influence that it brought us. Amen? You can't watch a whole bunch of junk on TV and not have it affect you. Did you just hear what I said? You can't. Something's going to slip, whether it's your language, whether it's your actions, whether it's who you start hanging out with. Something's going to slip there. Amen? All right? I want you to notice the fruit, again, is the actions and the expressions of our physical body. It's coming through our physical body. That's what it's talking about, the fruit. It's our actions, words, or our attitudes. You can see it, all right? Our root system as humans, not just Christians, is our soul, our heart, our mind, what we focus on, what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on. So the roots of a tree cannot be seen, but where they are planted determine the health of that tree. I really want you to get that point and really meditate on that. And the condition of that fruit from that tree. The roots are the most important and vital part of a tree. Listen, even though it can't be seen. And that's why one of the most important points or parts of us is our soul. And it can't be seen. Like right now. You're sitting here right now. I don't know what you're thinking about. You could be thinking about something totally negative. Are you seeing me? I don't know that. But I will notice some fruit coming forth sometime, whether it's good or bad or positive. Amen? This is why in John 15, Jesus refers to himself as the true vine. The true vine. The true carrier of life. The true carrier, the only carrier of spiritual nutrients that our roots should be planted in. Amen? Our spiritual roots need to be connected to and drawing out spiritual water and nutrients out of a meaningful relationship with Jesus and the written word of God. Amen. Those two things, I said two things there. A meaningful relationship with Jesus, so you're having an amazing prayer life. You have communication with him, but you also got to have a good and positive relationship with the written word of God. If Jesus and the Word of God are not connected to your root system, to your soul, to your thoughts, to your imagination, to everything on the inside, it won't be long until evil fruit begins to grow in our life. I want to share with you something, a revelation the Holy Spirit gave me on Friday. As I was writing this message, it was so powerful. I was just sitting at my desk, and I got this far in typing, and all of a sudden, just a knowing, a revelation, three words. I was meditating on the truth of roots, water, trees, plundering the enemy, our spiritual life, and like a flash of revelation, these three words dropped into my spirit, and the meaning and the application, it's like I knew it immediately. Have you ever received a revelation from the Holy Spirit and you knew it just in one moment? That's the power and the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the best teacher. Amen? Now listen to this. There were three words that dropped in my spirit. Ready? Dehydrate, hydrate, and saturate. Dehydrate, hydrate, and saturate. All three in connection to our soul or our spiritual root system. Dehydrate is defined as to cause a person or their body to lose a large amount of water. So there's a great lack of water in the physical body. Hydrate is defined as to cause water to absorb. To be hydrated is very healthy. Would you agree? Saturate is defined as to cause something to become thoroughly soaked with liquid so that no more can be absorbed. Now, for some things in the natural sense, that might be negative, but I'm using it in a positive sense, spiritually. Listen to this. To be spiritually dehydrated means to be in a backslidden condition. This is the revelation the Holy Spirit just illuminated. To be in a backslidden condition spiritually. You're not filling yourself with the Word of God. You're not meditating on the Word of God and the things of God. You're not attending local church. You're not fellowshipping with other Christians. You're not staying filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? The water of the Word and the water of the Holy Spirit, your roots aren't tapping in to those things. And guess what happens? You get dehydrated spiritually. You backslide. You're spiritually dry, and you're allowing yourself. This is what the Holy Spirit said. In the dehydrated mode, you're allowing yourself to be plundered by the enemy. You're allowing yourself to be plundered by the enemy. You're allowing the enemy to steal from you. You're an open target to the enemy. You're not in a good spiritual state. Here we go. To be spiritually hydrated means that you are doing the right things just enough for yourself to be spiritually healthy, and you are plundering the enemy for yourself, for your own life. Say, for my own life. And that's great, and we all need to do that, amen? But here's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. He said the ideal spiritual condition that we all need to strive for and maintain is to be spiritually saturated, to be spiritually saturated with the Word of God, and to stay filled with the Holy Spirit means this, that you just don't have enough for yourself. You are plundering the enemy. You're taking things back, but also there's an overflow to minister to others, to help them plunder, to pull them out of the pit. We need to be spiritually saturated. Now, to be spiritually saturated, again, to be spiritually saturated is the personal and ministry mode to others. That is the disciple and ambassador or representative for Jesus Christ mode. You're not just doing it for yourself. You're not just focused on yourself. Now, you yourself, you're healthy yourself. Your roots are in the right place, but you're getting so filled, there's an overflow to minister to others. Oh, I like that, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. And that is how we are expected to live on this earth. Many Christians stay in that hydrate mode, just enough for themselves, but not enough to be concerned against, to pull others out of that pit. We must be, and we must stay filled with the Word of God. We must stay filled with the Holy Spirit, that it motivates us enough to help others plunder the enemy. We need to pull others out of the pit, because there's some people, they're in a bed of confusion right now, and they don't know where to go. And when you're spiritually saturated, you're lending them their hand. You're saying, grab my hand. I'm going to help pull you out of this. You still got to do it, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to do what I can do to minister to you, to build you up enough, to give you the equipment, to help equip you enough to pull you out. Amen? That is the only way to be in the spiritually saturated mode. That's the only way that we're going to be able to take more ground on this earth for the kingdom of God, is to maintain that saturation mode. Say saturation. Saturation. Did you know Jesus stayed in the saturation mode for his life? Acts 10:38 makes it very clear in one verse how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed or being plundered by the devil. Amen? Jesus did not waste his anointing and influence of the Holy Spirit just on his own personal life. No, no, he used every powerful spiritual resource in his life to minister to others. Yes, get healthy for yourself. Start taking back what the enemy stole for yourself. But my God, you better start rising up and get saturated and help pull others out of the pit. Amen. I'm about ready to float off this stage. Listen, you ready? Deal with the sin and other negative things in your life. Yes, absolutely. Get spiritually hydrated for yourself. But deal with the things in your life so you can be a benefit to others. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, to be a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be an effective and powerful minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. A minister, you know what minister means? It means to be a servant of others. Many people are just serving themselves. I could say something, but I'm not going to. Now, maybe in a personal conversation. But all right, now, here we go. Let's go back to finish this message off. Ready? Let's go back to Matthew 12 to finish this message. Jesus talked about first binding the strong man, and then we can plunder his house, right? I want you to notice that Jesus said strong man, not strong men. As in one. We got to bind the strong man, all right? The one thing, here's what you got to understand, what Jesus is trying to show us. In a demonic web of bondage, either within a person or in a specific location where they operate, there is usually a demonic leader in that web, in that authority structure, all right? I read the passage last week about how when a demon goes out or gets cast out of a person, it seeks to go back into that person. You remember that? I believe that is Matthew 12 as well. And when there is an opening, by that demon notices an opening or a legal right, it takes with it, it said, seven more wicked spirits than himself, and they enter into that person and call it their home. You remember that? Here's what you got to understand. I want to point out that the gatekeeper was that original demon spirit that was first cast out. The original demon that was the first in that person sought out others to be allowed in with him. In other words, those other seven wicked spirits wouldn't have got in unless the other one said, hey, you seven, come with me. I'm going to be the gatekeeper. Did you follow what I'm saying here? Yeah, now we're getting into deeper structures of spiritual warfare and how demonic spirits operate. That first demon was the strong man. Say strong man. That allowed the more wicked ones to come in. The enemy, well, you got to understand this. The enemy, the kingdom of darkness, is very organized. They're very structured, okay? There's different ranks. There's different levels, right? And who's the leader of evil? Lucifer or Satan, right? And there's different, just like in a military, right? You got majors, you got generals, you got whatever. There's different levels here. And here's what I want to point out, because this is kind of what jumped out to me. Wouldn't you think that the more outwardly wicked ones would be the strong man, right? But they were not. The original demon was the root, was the gatekeeper, was the strong man. Now, we need to ask our Heavenly Father for clarity on that and to gather information that could reveal the spiritual root, whether in our own life or when we're ministering to others, all right? When we're ministering and counseling someone in the emotional aspect of it, what we're always looking for and praying about and keeping an ear open is the root, the first opening, the legal right that first gave the demonic spirits entry in, all right? Jesus is saying that if we don't bind that strong man or the gatekeeper or deal with the root first, we will never be able to get free or take back what the enemy stole from us, because you're not correcting the original entry point. Did you hear what I said? Am I talking to any warriors in Christ this morning?
Yes.
Come on. Let's get fired up. Yeah, if you feel led into the deliverance ministry, you probably feel like standing up and yelling amen. Some others, you're like, yeah, it's interesting, but, right? The strong man must be dealt with first, the one who allowed the others in, okay? The word bind, let's talk quickly about this. The word bind, in a spiritual sense, means to forbid or to prohibit something. To forbid or to prohibit something, all right? It means to take authority away from or take an influence away from, to cut off the influence from that demon. You're binding it, all right? You're not just tying that thing with a rope. You're dealing with a spiritual thing, right? So you got to cut the influence of that thing off first, number one. The word loose, in a spiritual sense, means to permit or to allow. Did you notice that? That's why it's the works of the flesh, not the works of demons, because the ultimate responsibility we're given, we're allowing it to influence us. So it either stops at us or their operation continues through us, because we're allowing them to use our free will. We're allowing them to use our, come on, authority on this earth. That's why this earth is a mess right now. That's why people are getting raped, murdered right now. Drive-bys are happening. Are you following me? They're giving in to demonic desires and temptations by their own free will, all right? So, yeah, loose in a spiritual sense means to permit or to allow something, to give authority or to allow it to have influence. Now, the word bind in Matthew 12, it means to stop that influence, the will or the activity of that demon. And then you can plunder or take back what it has stolen from you, all right? So here's what it comes down to. We need to stop giving demons permission to operate in our life. That's all it is. Stop giving them permission. Just stop. Whatever it is, right? See, the world has a level of that, you know, dealing with, you know, people who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever. There's programs, secular programs, that the world don't know it, but that's kind of what they're trying to do, is they're cutting off an influence, right,
yeah,
of a demon that's trying to operate through them. But how many of you know they're never going to be totally set free without the spiritual root being dealt with, the strong man being bound and cast out, amen? So on a personal level of deliverance for a person, it means to have a mindset change. Stop allowing the demon to operate through you, through your soul, through your thoughts, imagination, all of these things, and your physical body. It does not mean, listen, it does not mean just to yell the words, I bind you in the name of Jesus, at the demon. It literally means at the root of what this means, it means to cut off every area of your thought life, your attitude, spoken words, and actions that you are allowing to demon to operate. That's literally what you're doing. Now, is it okay to yell at it? Yeah, but you better have some spiritual teeth and obedience to God to back up what you're saying. You just hear? Or else it's just empty words that's not doing anything. So it's what you think, say, and do. Cut the demonic spirit's influence over what you think, say, and do. Doing that will forbid and prohibit the demon from continuing to operate. You are taking away his authority or power over your life that you have given them, and you're pulling, you're pulling the teeth of that demon out of your soul, out of your thought life. You're pulling up those spiritual roots. You're pulling up the spiritual root that was once connected in the kingdom of darkness. Now you got to get them planted in the kingdom of God, in the word of God. Start hanging out with the right people. Come on, somebody. It all has to do with it. Amen? So now when you do that, when the demon's bound or influence is taken away from that demon, here, you ready for this? Now the demon is in a powerless state in your life. Now you're at the point where you can truly start casting that thing out now. Did you just hear what I said? If you don't deal with the binding or cutting off the influence, you can cast it out all you want, but there's going to be multitudes of 7 times 7 times 7 coming back if you're just giving into the same bondage in your life. That's why we try to make sure when we minister to someone, we want to make sure this person is serious about this. Now, sometimes you minister to someone, they say, oh, yeah, I'm ready. And they come to church for 3 times, and, you know, you're like, okay, well, we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. Then they go right back into the pig pen. I hate that. But you know what? It's not our fault. It's their personal responsibility. Amen? So now that demon is in a powerless state in their life, all right? You've taken back authority. You've taken back your control of your life, all right? And now you can cast it out, and now you can plunder and take back everything the enemy has stolen from you, all right? Without the resistance that you once felt from that demon being on the inside of your soul, all right? To bind a demon means to render it ineffective or without influence. Again, it just does not mean, I got to say this so many times, it does not mean to yell empty spiritual commands, just like resisting the devil. Listen to me. Just like resisting the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resisting the devil does not mean just yell and scream at it. Resisting the devil means this. You're submitting to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee. It all starts with what? Submitting to God. That's an action. That's an obedience. That's in your thought life. That's in your soul. That's in your spirit, soul, and body. Right? All right. Let's see here. I'm almost done. So obedience to God cuts off the influence of the enemy in your life, all right? If you're going to scream and yell at the devil, there better be obedience to God and his written word to back up those spoken words of rebuke. It's a spoken word of rebuke, all right? But there better be some teeth back there, right? Backing you up. All right, now, the strong man or demon is holding on to a stronghold in your life to stay in your life, to keep you in bondage, to keep tormenting you. Now, remember I talked about this real quick. A legal right of entry is how a demon got into your life. A stronghold is a legal right on how they stay in your life. So there's the entry point, then the stronghold, which keeps them or gives them a legal right. They say, I'm not going anywhere. This person's a mess. This person's walking in disobedience. This person's always thinking about whatever. Sin and all that. So they might have got, well, you got to understand this because I see some new faces. So they might have gotten in you one way and then they stay in after helping to create a stronghold in your soul. They could be different. An example real quick, they may have gotten into your life through any form of abuse, let's say, right? But they stay in because of the bitterness and unforgiveness and negative attitudes that abuse created in your life. Amen? You following me? You know, addictions to drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. So the strong man is the demon holding on to the emotional stronghold or sin that must be dealt with and healed, all right? You will not be plundering the enemy until that emotional stronghold and sin is dealt with properly and healed in your soul, all right? That's why you really got to lock in. You want to get free in your life, you really got to lock in, all right? I've said it before and I'll say it again. Getting born again is easy. The gospel is simple. Get, you know, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. But the disciple level, now it requires some more of your attention and time. Did you just hear what I said? God's looking for disciples. People who are willing to learn, put in the time, put in the prayer, put in the Bible study time, come to church. Are you following me? Everything connected to the demonic strongman root must be dealt with for that demon to be bound or to lose his influence and then to be cast out. The entire purpose of plundering the enemy, the strongman's goods for a Christian in connection to spiritual warfare. Ready? Here's the whole purpose. To restore you back to God's plan for your life. To restore your identity, to restore you back to love, peace, and joy, to restore you back to the will and plan of God, to restore you back to your calling and purpose, to restore you your emotional and physical health, to restore you back into prosperity and out of poverty, to heal and restore godly relationships in your life that have been negatively affected in your life with family, loved ones, and so on, right? So restore, I'm on the last page, guys. Say, praise God. Now, oh, you traitors. My goodness. Here we go. I just want to end it like this. Restore means to bring back or to reinstate. All right? In the kingdom of God, it's never too late to be restored back into God's plan or purpose for your life. It's never too late to be reinstated back to hope, to be reinstated into the greatness that God has for you by his grace. It's never too late to get back into the battle, to cut off the negative influences, to get back on God's side, to get set free, to get delivered and healed, and to begin, come on, to plunder the kingdom of darkness like never before with boldness and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you're going in with his boldness, not your own. If it's our own and we're basing it on us, there is no boldness. You got to base it. It's his authority that he's allowing us to operate. That's the grace of God. That's why it says grow in the grace of God. Take advantage of the grace that God has given you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, it's time to take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal, to take control in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our finances, in our health, in every area of our life. It's time to fully commit and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's begin to use our authority to plunder, to push back the kingdom of darkness like never before. Come on, and advance the kingdom of God in authority and power. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Let's time, come on, to plunder the enemy. Prayer team, come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We're coming after the strong man. We're coming all of the against the demons underneath of them. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time. Now, maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You're a mess. You're a target. You have a bullseye on your back for demons. Now, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, because the moment you take your last breath on this earth, game over. Your eternity is sealed. It's time for you to come into the family of God. Amen. God does not hate you. He's not mad at you. He loved you so much, he sent Jesus. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, come forward right now and pray with one of the prayer partners. If this message really hit home and you're ready to act on this thing, you're ready. You're like, man, I have been being plundered, but today fired me up. Today equipped me. I'm ready to plunder the enemy back. Amen? If that's you and you just want to declare that, come forward and pray with one of the prayer partners and say, this message shook me to the core. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism in the evidence of speaking in other tongues, come on down. They'll pray with you to receive. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down for prayer. I do have to announce one thing. The Volunteers Appreciation Lunch is Sunday after service, November 23rd at Biagio's in Kingston. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. So come on out for that. Those of you who want to become a member of the church, our meeting is right after the service, right in here, right? Downstairs. Oh, downstairs for lunch and then back up here. So, we're staying down. We're staying down for everything. Thank you, Rob. I love it. Yeah, anybody, again, becoming a member of the church, why do I got to do that? You don't have to do that, right? But if you want to serve in this church, we want you to be a member. We want you to know some of the things about the church, amen? And we want people who are committed, amen, to this family in particular. Love you all. Have a great week. God bless you.